I'd like to tell you that the lesson this morning is going to be one that's rather difficult because there are extremes on different sides and it's rather hard to find a balance on this particular subject. We're going to be talking this morning about the Christian and politics. And we have so many different views about that. For example, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the government is always evil. They won't even salute the flag or say the Pledge of Allegiance. Back in the Restoration Movement, David Lipscomb, who was a well-known preacher at that time, thought the Christian could not belong to any kind of politics at all, that it was inherently evil. On the other hand, James Garfield, who was president, was a member of the church, and he said that he stepped down from being an elder to be the president of the United States. And we have a brother recently who quit preaching in order to enter politics. And so you have a wide range of various views about this, and the hard part is to find a balance. And when you look at the chart this morning, you see some ancient politicians, some good, some evil, and you recognize that this is somewhat a cynical subject for most of us. The rule to know whether or not someone who's a politician is lying is whether or not his lips are moving, I've heard. And this is the reputation that it has about politics among people as just exactly what is going to be done, and yet it affects every one of us. Every single one of us is affected by the role of politics in our life. So we'll look at this morning from a different viewpoints. Paul talked about a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that it may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And of course, we understand that this is not an absolute because we do marry, we do do commerce and those things. But Paul was telling Timothy not to entangle himself in the affairs of this life to the detriment of being a child of God. We recognize that Satan will use any tactic to prevent us from fighting our important battles. Most of us have been frustrated by a change in the government in our lifetime, and most of us have been used to a republic or a democratic state, and today there's a lot of socialism in the government around us. So this observation causes us to be concerned, and yet at the same time we wonder how much do we get involved in that sort of thing. Can politics then be an entanglement in this life that would cause us to go away from the Lord, and can it hinder us from fully serving the Lord? I think those are questions that would have a yes answer. Yes, that we can get entangled in politics to the point where we lose what is important. I remember Brother Haley, who was one of my teachers in college and also preached where I was worshiping, and he talked about the fact that God controlled the government, and he said the Christian's role in the government is to be the salt of the earth, that no matter how bad a government got, if there's enough salt, then God will preserve a nation. But if there's not enough salt to preserve a nation, all the atom bombs in the world would not stop God from bringing it down. And so we're looking then for our position in the world around us. What does a Christian have to do with politics? And I hasten to say that there's a balance here, I believe, that we must learn to appreciate and to utilize in order, number one, that it don't become so entangled in the affairs of this world that I lose sight of what's really important to the child of God. At the same time, I recognize that the influence of a Christian has a great deal to do with the direction of a nation. And so there are things that we can do to act as a Christian in politics that would help us understand our role in that. But which is worse? What answer do we show in our living example? You have some teenagers, and we mentioned in class, there's an article in the paper this last week about the fact that many, many people are giving up religion altogether, and this would be representative of a young person. I haven't told my parents that I'm voting for Obama or that I no longer believe in God. Those two things are not antithetical. In fact, a lot of people are beginning to approach that, and the role of atheism and agnosticism in America is growing noticeably from the article in the paper. And so someone would say, well, I'm not sure which is worse in their minds. Well, which is worse then, to vote for a Democrat, and I'm not taking sides here, or not to believe in God? And we have to weigh those kinds of things. When you look back in the Old Testament at the political scene then, we talk about the kingdom of Israel, and it was a material kingdom in that sense of the word, but God was the king of the nation. And we're studying in Wednesday nights now, 1 Samuel, where God was still the king over the nation, but the people are wanting a king. He appointed one, but he was still in control, even though they might not have realized it. But Israel had laws that were appointed by God, and over again we see that they failed God in that. But Proverbs 14, verse 34 said that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's really a good thing to go back and read the Old Testament as God has dealt among the nations. Not only has God dealt with the Israelites as a kingdom on earth, but he also dealt with the Egyptians, with the Assyrians, with the Babylonians, with the Persians, with the Romans, and even in the time of Jesus, as they tried to test him and ask, what should you do with regard to the government? Should you pay your taxes? And he looked at a coin and said, give unto God the things that are God, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. So that again shows a balance that is taught in the Bible. And we have to recognize our place in that to be able not to lose our sight of what we have. So when you talk about this passage under the Old Testament, it talks about the importance of God's chosen Israel to remain faithful to God. Now, we cannot really say that America is a Christian nation. I know that claim has been made in the past. And I would be quick to note that the founding fathers believed in at least deism. They believed in the power greater than themselves. And most rulers have decided, most presidents from the beginning of America have believed in a God. And we see a greater change in that now, in that people are turning away in an official sense, to turn away from religion. And there are people with immense amounts of money that are trying to take the idea of God out of America, from the, what's on the coins to what's allowed on the Ten Commandments and plaques in various places. All kinds of things are trying to remove all religion from the American scene. So this is going to affect us to a large degree about what we believe and how we act with regard to that as we consider these things. Well, can Christians get too political? And you go back to history in America in, I'd say, 50 years, and you had various political leaders who tried to organize a new party that would take a stricter rule with regard to the government and the Constitution, and then you have the fight that goes on among that. Where are we going to stand with regard to that? Some Christians try to fight worldliness through political means, and you again have problems with that. For example, when one presidential candidate was running for president in the last election, the fact that he was a Mormon came into being with some people, and some were not going to vote for him because he was a Mormon. Some were going to vote because he was a religious person. And so you get concerned with worldly ideas taking over the government. And I think I'm intelligent enough to read the newspaper and understand what's going on, and I recognize there is a true sentiment against religion in America today. So it does affect each one of us as to where we stand. Now, I could get so rabid about this that I would get out and make some kind of campaigns and things of that nature and forget that I'm a Christian. On the other hand, I don't want to be so distant from the government that my faith and my influence as a Christian doesn't matter. So it really does mean that we have to take advantage of our faith and do the best that we can to overcome this lack of balance. Do Christians get too political? Well, it depends on what you mean by too much. But when you talk about those who claim to be Christians, and I recognize the name Christian is sometimes really tossed about when it doesn't really mean that, but we have those who are fighting to put school prayer back in the agenda of the schools, and I have some mixed feelings with that. There were times in school when people would lead prayer back when it was allowed that I didn't think were living in such a way that they ought to lead the prayer. But this is part of that movement to take religion out of the government. There are those who are trying to take the name of God off of dollar bills and coins and monuments and the Ten Commandments. We've talked about that. And there are those who are fighting to limit or do away with abortion. And there's where I find myself somewhat rabid. I believe abortion is murder. And I'm going to measure what I do with regard to politics in the sense that my conscience won't let me defend or support someone who is endorsing and practicing abortion. So my faith, my personal faith, gets mixed up in this. And I'm not going to go out and shoot an abortionist. I'm not going to go out and go burn down a doctor's office that performs abortions. Yet at the same time, I want my influence as a Christian to be for life and not death. So I want to be understood, and I want to be a part of a government that at least will look for the right way. I'm appalled at how much our government has gone toward homosexual agendas, same-sex marriage and things of that nature. I read my Bible. I understand what the Bible says. I understand what was wrong with Sodom and Gomorrah. It was not that they were just cruel and inhospitable. They were homosexuals, and God destroyed them because of that. That's a message that I can't disguise and I can't ignore. We have to recognize that. And then whether or not you believe the death penalty, and that gets down to personal persuasion, and then of course the idea of welfare. I saw recently online where it said that if someone is in the fourth generation on welfare, that something is very wrong, and I would agree with that. Amen. But what do I do in a way with that as far as trying to overcome that? I think we can teach the gospel. The man is not to work, neither shall he eat. At the same time, I believe the Bible teaches that we're to be sympathetic toward those in need, and so there are decisions that have to be made along the line in those areas. And we can misunderstand the power of politics sometimes. As I've mentioned before, when I get to the point where I feel real frustrated because of what's going on and the candidates that I don't like and the people that don't like are in control, I draw back and I say, God will take care of that. I do believe, brethren and friends, that God is in control. And sometimes He allows a nation to fulfill its wickedness, as He did among the time of Abraham and the nations of the land of Canaan. When their iniquity was full, God could righteously allow Israel to come in and take over their property and slay them. Well, I realize that God is in control. So when I get to the point where I'm not really sure what I ought to do, or I don't want to get too frustrated about it, I just pull back and say, Lord, you take care of that. We have to assume that we could never be political opponents to Christ. That is, I'm not going to endorse something that is against the rule of the Lord. And we talk about politicians having to be Christians in order to vote for them. We need to recognize that every person, regardless of what his political party is, needs the Lord. And if we have an opportunity to teach the gospel, like Paul did to kings and governors, that we need to be able to preach the gospel, not talk about politics. So politics is not the most important thing in my life. I recognize as an American there's a certain amount of responsibility to vote and participate. At the same time, I have more power toward a government continuing by living a Christian life and being the salt and the light in that government so that God will allow that government to stand. And need to recognize that America is not the bride of Christ. Jesus did not establish America, and the main battle we should be focused on is the battle between the kingdom of Christ and the secular world. And that's our particular spot. Now, you're out in the world when you work somewhere. You're in the world when you're in school. And your faith is going to be tested as to whether or not you're going to be right with God or you're going to fall in with the crowd. So our particular test is determining where I stand in the world. I'm in the world, someone said, not of the world. Well, that's not in the Bible. I thought one time it was, and I looked and looked and never could find it. It's not in the world, but it is true that I'm in the world, but not of the world. And so I'm political, but I'm not in politics. And we have to make a decision about some of these things. But we really have to understand a particular role that the Christian plays in life. And I really believe that we need to understand that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was talking about the light and the salt. And that's our particular role in this government. When you had Abraham talking with the angel about the future of Sodom and Gomorrah, there was discussion going about how many righteous people it would take to spare those cities. And it started off with 50 and finally came down to 5. But notice, if only 5 individuals could have been found that were righteous, God would have spared those cities. I don't know what the ratio is for America, but I do believe that my job as a Christian is to be the salt and the light that will keep this nation alive. And if I lose myself just into politics, if, like James Garfield said, I step down from being an elder to be the President of the United States, then there's a loss of the power of God toward that country, toward that nation. Please don't underestimate your influence in America as simply a Christian. Understand that God looks at a nation as to whether or not its iniquity is full. Now, the number of things that are happening in America that really bother me as a Christian, and that is the thrust against religion, the increase in abortion, the fact of, as politicians have said, morality doesn't matter anymore. And so someone can be an adulteress or an adulterer, they can be a liar, they can have all kinds of moral problems, but they're still popular as a politician. Now, my role is not to support that sort of thing, but to pray to God that my influence can be felt in the sphere of influence that I have, that I can influence people to love the Lord. If this nation falls, that's not the worst thing that could happen. Amen. The worst thing that could happen would be the diminution of the Lord's people. My responsibility is to try to convert the lost. I don't care whether it's the president or a governor or a mayor or a simple politician. They all need the gospel of Christ, and there's my role as a child of God. With regard to the preacher friend that I have that quit preaching and went into politics, I sent him a message and advised him that you're stepping down and to recognize that you're stepping down and your influence as a Christian is going to be diminished. At the same time, if he could hold his faith in that situation, he might be an influence to converting some politicians that need the gospel of Christ. So I'm not going to sit in judgment about that. I let each one determine, but I know that my role is not to be as a politician, but I've got to be converting people through the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And so the gospel of Christ, not a political party, has the power to change people's lives. You look at Cornelius, who was a centurion of the Italian band, an influential person. The gospel of Christ changed him. You look at Naaman in the Old Testament, and the fact that he found the Lord and the Lord healed him of his leprosy made a huge difference in his life. At the same time, you look at the New Testament, the Apostle Paul talked about Christians in Caesar's household. Now, if you've done any study at all about the Roman life, you understand how licentious it was to be a Roman, particularly in the household of Caesar's, where anything went. And yet they were Christians in Caesar's household. What that tells me is that you can be a Christian today in this country. You can live a life of a child of God regardless of how bad the situation gets. And I believe that, as the Bible tells us, to pray for our leaders, to pray for those who are in control, that they may also be able to understand what it is to be a child of God. So why would a Christian spend more time in politics than in spreading the gospel? And I just simply think you cannot. And among those who are politicians, if they are Christians, they're going to be tested. Because the idea of politics is the idea of compromise. You have two different views, you're trying to find a way of compromise. And with regard to morals and Christianity, my friend, there is no compromise. Amen. There has to be the right way for God. So you get into these situations and you find confused priorities. I do have a fear of the nationwide spread of immorality. And I fear that when people get so involved in politics that they simply would not have enough faith in God to recognize where their loyalties lie. But you can be, and here's the balance I'm talking about. Yes, you can be patriotic. God cares more for the church than he does a nation. Now, we need to pray for God to bless America. And I do that all the time, as I know you do. And as we have prayer here, we pray for our nation. But God cares more for the church than he does the nation. He cares more about saving souls than he does me trying to control the nation's morality. I'm not going to have an influence on, let's say, President Clinton and what he did. No way I'm going to have an influence on that. But I can live the kind of life as a husband and father and neighbor that I can lend influence to the idea of one man, one woman in marriage for life, with only one exception. And people can look at that example and recognize that morality does matter, and to recognize that we'll have no gods before our God. And so it's not commanded for the U.S. or any nation to have the responsibility to preach the gospel. You're not going to find that, because that's not the role of the government. Romans 13 does talk about that. But as long as this nation lasts, it is going to be a short time in the eyes of God. America is only talking about 200 years. You go back 250, you go back and look at some of the nations of the Bible days, and there were hundreds and hundreds of years in length. But that's just a blink to God. And what I have to finally sum up is, really, that's the way my life is. My life is just a short period of time. The Bible says it's like the dew on the grass. It's like the grass that withers and dies. And I've got to spend my time in what's important. The most important thing you need to learn is you need to be a Christian. Now, we're blessed to be an American. And it may not be easy to live in some other countries, but you can be a Christian not in America. But the most important thing, if you are an American, is to recognize I'm a child of God. I've obeyed the gospel of Christ. I believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. I've turned away from sin in my life by repentance. I'm willing to tell people by confession of my mouth that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I'm ready to be baptized for the remission of my sins. That's the most important thing in all the world. Who's going to be the next president is not that important. Oh, now, I want certain ones. to hold certain values, and I'll vote that direction. Here's the balance I'm talking about. But I recognize the church of the Lord is far more important than who rules this country. And I'm not going to get so caught up in politics that I sell out my principles or that I give up the Lord. And so those are some bedrock principles that have to guide us in those things to recognize what's right. And I ran across this, I've used it a number of times, about the blacksmith and the hammer and the anvil. I want to read it to you. Last eve I paused beside the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. "How many anvils have you had," said I, "to wear and batter all these hammers so?" "Just one," he said, and then with a twinkling eye, "the anvil wears the hammers out, you know." And so I thought, the anvil of God's Word, for ages skeptics' blows have beat upon. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed, the hammer's gone. Man, I believe that. I believe that. When America's gone as a nation, God's truth will still be here.
Amen.
In Daniel chapter 2, the Bible talks about the fact that it foretells what's going to take place in the kingdom of God. And Daniel was empowered to tell the king that God was going to set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. By God's grace, I'm a part of that kingdom today.
Amen.
And nothing else is more important than that. I'm going to use my sense of morality, of right and wrong, to filter through the candidates. And yes, I'll vote. I don't believe it's evil, as David Lipscomb said, to vote. I don't believe it's evil to salute the flag or say the Pledge of Allegiance. I am patriotic in that sense. But if it comes down to this country is dead and gone, the kingdom of God will remain on into the future. And just like the anvil that's worn down the hammers, the anvil of God's truth is going to see that the truth of God continues past every nation, past every age, until this life is gone. If you're present this morning and not a Christian, not a child of God, friend, that's the most important thing for you to consider. I'm not going to judge whether you ought to be an independent, a member of the Tea Party, the Democratic, or the Republican. I think you ought to weigh carefully in your life as a Christian what you support, what you endorse. And if there's something wicked that you cannot endorse, then don't do it. Like, for example, they're trying to spread the practice of abortion. That's against the principles of God.
Amen.
And I'm not going to support someone who does that. But at the same time, I know, and I'm so thankful, that God is in control. And so when I get to the point where I feel my back against the wall, and I feel so frustrated because of the way our country is seeming to go, I bow and pray for our country. Because God is in control. If you're not a Christian this morning, it's far more important that you become a Christian than whether you ever vote or not. I think it's important and patriotic that you ought to vote, but far more than that, you need to be a child of God. If we can help you in that direction this morning, we'd like to do that, and we sing a song to encourage you that you might obey the gospel. If you're ready to do that, make your way to the front and give me your hand and God your heart. We'll take you to a place and baptize you into Jesus Christ, the Son of God. While we stand together and sing, we invite you to come.
Who will follow Jesus standing for the right?